From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of January, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Cargill says it will close a beef processing plant in Texas. The Chinese economy is on the rebound, and the chair of the House Committee on Agriculture wants it to be clear to USDA and farmers that this year's farm bill will include direct and countercyclical payments. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. Hey, don't forget that as we finish out our report today, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks over at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Jim Angel will be with us to look at what's happening next week and this weekend as we make our way through the end of this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, in Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. The nearby contract for the March soft red winter wheat settled up a dime at $7.91 and a quarter a bushel. The May futures at $7.99 and three quarters, 10 cents higher as well. And July, the new crop up 9 1/4 at $8.04 and the half cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished a nickel lower today at $8.54 1/4 in the new crop July. March corn futures in Chicago, $7.27 1/2, a settlement price up 3. The May at $7.29 1/4, 4 cents higher. July futures $7.21 1/2, a settlement up 4 1/2. In September at $6.13 1/2, up 2 3/4. December corn at $5.19 1/2, up 4 cents. The March of next year at $6.50, a settlement price up 4. March soybean futures a penny lower, $14.29 1/4. The May up 2 at $14.16 3/4. July settled $14.10 a bushel, up 4 cents. And the August futures in the bean pit at $13.85, up 5 1/2. SEPs at $13.36, 5 3/4 higher. In November beans, your new crop, up 7 cents at $12.92 1/4. Bean meal futures up 40 cents. Bean oil futures up 19 on the day. Live cattle futures in the April at $129.82 1/2, down $1.05. March feeders at $146.35, 50 cents higher. And April lean hogs unchanged at $88.07 1/2. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $95.45 a barrel, down 4 cents. RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $2.80 a gallon, up 3 1/10 cents. The ethanol futures at $2.37 4/10, up 3 1/2 cents. And the difference between the two is 42 6/10 cents. That's about 3/10 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.57 is up 7 6/10 for the day, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.05 3/10 cents, up 3 2/10 cents. Gold futures finished $3.80 lower at $1,687 an ounce, and the U.S. dollar now trading 80.04 is up 0.39 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 43 degrees. Should be breezy outside on a south-southwest wind at 22 to 24 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 36 for the day. And then this evening, mostly clear skies. A low this evening, around 32 degrees. It'll be breezy at 16 to 22 miles an hour with a gust of 30 miles an hour, again out of the south-southwest with the wind. And then Saturday, sunny skies and a high of 48 degrees. Those winds will continue at 16 to 25 out of the southwest, gusting to 32. Mostly clear on Saturday evening and a low of just 17 degrees. Wind chill values between 3 and 13, as it will be blustery with the wind turning to the west-northwest. That's always cold at 17 to 24 miles an hour, gusting up to 31. Sunny skies return on Sunday with just a 25-degree high on a northwest wind at 11 to 16. And on Sunday evening, cloudy and cold, 11 degrees. For Martin Luther King Day on Monday, mostly sunny with a high of just 14. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It is the 18th day of January 2013. On the phone line with us from West Lafayette, Indiana, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike. I added a west to the place you live. It's actually Lafayette, Indiana, for your office. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I do feel like I'm leaning a little left today, Todd, so it's okay. Put the west in there.
Okay, that's the end of the conversation. That's funny. You're leaning to the left. That's because the wind. Because you've got to go to the west, right?
That's exactly right.
That's okay. Well, you know, the closer you come to Illinois, the happier we are here in this state. How about that?
That sounds like a good way to end it and not get me in trouble.
It's too late for that, man. Okay. So I bet one of the things that makes you happy about the marketplace today is that it looks like wheat was the leader to the upside.
Yeah, I think in percentage terms, that was exactly what we needed. And the wheat-corn spread gained about 20 cents on the week, and that was about half of what the actual March wheat did. And that wheat-corn spread was up about 43%, so it was a nice move for the wheat. And I think the trade, based upon being out part of the week, the first half of the week, and then being in the office after traveling, the second half of the week, it seemed like the conversations that I had on the phone throughout the week, the market started to migrate and move maybe more towards the idea that we're getting closer to February, and that because the issues in Russia have come to light, and you know, you're talking about 110 degrees in Australia, even though they don't have much wheat to worry about right now, you've still got some weather issues in Australia that are brewing. You've got the Argentine crop that's about sowed up as far as harvest, and it looks like it's going to come in under 10 million tons at this stage. And so I think the market has been able to put more of the pieces of the puzzle together and say, maybe this wheat is for real, especially since we're getting closer and closer to February. And I think the big piece of the puzzle came out maybe Thursday when the USDA not only gave us decent weekly export sales, but China was our number two buyer of our wheat in the weekly export sales. And then that was followed up with the National Weather Service bringing on a pretty friendly, pretty bullish, pretty dry, unfortunately, 30 and 60-day brand-new outlook.
Well, you mentioned the month of February a couple of times, and I can only assume at this point, until you correct me on this one, that you're thinking wheat needs to lead the marketplace higher to hold up corn prices in order to attract a feed grain other than wheat into the commodity markets for the 2013 season.
100% right, and I think the wheat also needs to be there for the corn market because we keep getting bad information or bad news from the ethanol industry for the most part with the two Abagonia plants reportedly shutting down now in Nebraska. The ethanol RBOB spread right now is moving in the wrong direction. When you look at the lead month February contracts, we're talking about 43 cents discount in ethanol to RBOB. As that discount narrows or ethanol becomes more expensive or less of a discount to the RBOB, that tends to decrease the blending at the refiner level. And this past week, we've seen it go from about a week and a half from about a negative 60 price to a negative 43 cent price. So I think that this is where the wheat solves quite a few bearish potential issues. And some of the people are starting to talk about, and I think rightfully so, that the South Americans are getting ready to harvest and that the soybeans could become go from maybe the leader to the upside or the demand leader to the supply leader to the downside or the supply bear. And I think that's where wheat really needs to pick it up and say, okay, I'll take charge here of the demand bullishness and the supply bullishness and give beans a break. I think that's very, very needed, especially as we get to the end of the month, Tom.
Let's ignore new crop for corn, or old crop for corn for just a bit, and talk about the new crop. December contract at 590.5. February is the crop insurance setting month. Producers will be wondering what they should do. And can you take up maybe a plan of action, if you have a plan of action, to deal with that part of the crop, maybe the 15%, you know, if they take 85% coverage, right, that might not be covered, a 15% plus some under their under their contracts for crop insurance, and whether or not you think they ought to be doing something with new crop sales and coverage.
I think by the time we get to the end of the month, we should be looking really hard at getting that uninsured portion booked, and I would love to get it up around that 625 to 645 level in December futures. Get as close to the December futures or the March futures to over a $6 cash price and get that theoretical 15% locked in, because we are dealing with, and this is where the meetings are really showing this, whether I'm in Illinois or Kentucky, it doesn't matter. The producers are under the exact same worry that they've bid up cash rents. They're worried about pricing, but at the exact same time, they're worried about pricing from a standpoint of the drought not going away. And I think the only way you can answer that and fight that battle on your turf and on your level and not go to the funds or go to the markets and the headline news and all the short-term noise that we're going to be getting here through 2013, the only way you can fight that is to utilize that marketing side with the crop insurance side. And I think this is especially important when you realize the higher the February base price is, that can do as much good for you in the fall if you have a drought or if you have big yields and sharply lower prices, because you don't need a yield trigger on lower prices and big yield. You don't need that, so you just are talking about revenue. That crop insurance can become a revenue generator for you if the market is sharply lower come fall. So I think we really got to look at it on an individual level and not look at cookie-cutter type templates and just look at what you need to get secured for some of those higher cash rent levels. That's probably going to be that 15%, and get that sewed up before you get into February.
And probably a couple important notes here the kind of insurance you're talking about would be revenue protection, or RP, and by default, and I think this is correct, by default it comes with the harvest price option. You have to exclude it if you want that.
Absolutely right. Yeah, so great things to mention, because those are paramount in that working in your favor if the crop prices go down or if they go up.
And the other thing is that, and this has to be signed up for, is every farmer, according to Gary Schnittke and all the ag economists here, and I suspect across the Midwest and probably you, should take the trend adjustment. Almost every farmer. There would be a few exceptions, but not many.
I think that's a good broad brush statement to make, because it worked really well last year, and it sounds like it may be a little bit more in price this year, but it will also benefit you in terms of what kind of bushel per acre you're going to be able to cover. So I think, generally speaking, I think that's exactly right. I think the bottom line here goes back to, we have had a market that believes that the wheat supplies are going to grow, and I think we're coming into a focal point here where they're going to back away from that and wonder whether the wheat supplies are actually going to shrink, not just here in the United States, but globally as well. And you really want to tap into that. If you want to be bullish wheat between now and the next 60 days. Do your marketing in the next 60 days for your corn and beans, and then come March 1, when you get ready to plant, then readdress your marketing program and say, okay, am I too sold on paper? I can always pull those paper positions back some.
It's always fun to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. A couple of notes. We have closed down the Voices of Illinois Agriculture online registration. You can still call if you want at 217-333-9355. I'll repeat that one last time. 217-333-9355. We're really looking forward to having all of you who signed up for that event into Bevere Hall next Friday evening, January the 25th. Orion will be on hand, of course, to sign all of those brand new books of his.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids.
In agricultural news, Cargill Incorporated announced that it will close a Texas processing plant due to dwindling cattle supplies caused by drought in the central U.S. The Minnesota-based company said it would close a plant in Plainview, Texas on February 1st. That will affect about 2,000 employees. Cargill will preserve the plant's infrastructure so that it could possibly reopen when cattle supplies rebound, But company officials say it does not expect that to happen for a number of years. Cattle previously processed at the Plainview plant will instead be processed at other plants in Texas, Kansas, and Colorado. China's National Bureau of Statistics says that China's economy rebounded in the final quarter of 2012. Economic growth rose to 7.9% in the 3 months ending in December. That was up from the previous quarter's 7.4% rate and raised total growth for the year to 7.8%. This week, the World Bank cut its growth forecast for China this year from 8.6% to 8.4%. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas wants to make it clear that he expects USDA to follow through with enrollment and sign up for the direct and countercyclical payment programs, and that checks should be issued in the fall. Lucas said he is sticking with the programs that are in place now, including direct payments that provides producers with some policy certainties for the year. Lucas says, quote, "I assure you that the five-year farm bill that we will mark up in my committee will honor the commitment Congress made to growers when it extended the 2008 farm bill to cover the 2013 crop year." Earlier this week, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack said, quote, "What Congress giveth, they can take away." AgriConsult became the first major forecaster to peg Brazilian soybean output at 84 million metric tons. It raised its outlook for the 2012-13 crop year by 900,000 metric tons in light of the highly favorable weather conditions across the grain belt over the past month. AgriConsult also raised its forecast for 2012-13 corn by 3.7 million tons to 74.7 million tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website anytime you'd like. In fact, we'll record Commodity Week at about 4:30 Central Time this afternoon, USA. Our guest this week, Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. In studio, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of West Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural futures. Now, up next, you know, Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture last week released a series of reports. We've told you about them a lot this week during the Closing Market Report. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good spoke with me earlier in the week, and as you'll hear, he thinks the grain stocks report held those most interesting numbers.
You know, I think probably the most interesting number was the December 1 stocks of corn at 8.03 billion bushels, almost 200 million bushels less than the market expected on average, even though the production number was raised by 55 million bushels. The market was looking for a 100 million bushel cut, so you would have thought perhaps the stocks number was going to be bigger than the market expected. It turned out to be smaller, which implies we're feeding corn at a very rapid pace, much faster than the market had expected going into this report. And as a result, the USDA did raise its forecast for the year by 200 or 300 million bushels for total feed and residual use of corn. I guess the surprising thing, you know, is why the market didn't anticipate seeing this high rate of feed use of corn when animal numbers all fall have been pointing that way. Somehow the market had convinced itself that feed use had been cut and or had lost track that a fair amount of new crop corn had already been fed during the summer months and would show up as disappearance in the December stocks number, and it in fact did. So I think it verifies that we are feeding a lot of corn, and was a shock to the market. So we saw corn prices trading lower going into the report and then make a U-turn sharply higher after the report.
When you put this number, the 802
from the grain stocks report, a million bushels, that is, on hand as of December 1st. Into context of the marketing year, we finish out with a very, very small ending stocks number.
We do. The USDA has that projected right at 600 million bushels and just over 5% of projected consumption. And I think for the most part, 5% of consumption is pipeline supplies. So they are projecting stocks at pretty low levels. And that's with exports at a 43-year low of 950 million bushels. So if that market should heat up a little bit, and or we find out in March that we're still feeding corn at a pretty fast pace, then it says the rationing job that we thought was done is not quite complete yet. So I think taken together, this report should put some support under old crop corn prices into the spring of the year.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, on the phone line with us to look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Busy there at all today?
We have been buying a little bit of grain on the uptick days, old crop primarily. Very little activity on the new. Loading its corn train today and thankful that it's not going to be on Monday.
It's going to be cold on Monday.
It's a lot better out there today than it is on a lot of days in the winter.
You bet. Where's your corn train headed this
time? This one is headed down to chicken feeders in Mississippi.
Now, is that unusual for you?
No, that's a normal move.
That's a normal move for you. And how's your basis on the rail lines?
It is holding steady. Things had been pretty quiet. We started seeing a little bit of improvement, some poking the head up on it, but when the board rallied, it looked like the basis now is willing to let that do some of the work for it as we try and figure out, you know, where we're at as far as demand and how far coverage is on out here.
Given a normal growing season from here on out, many are saying we need the basis to do the heavy lifting, especially for the old crop, to make sure that is brought into the marketplace, and that it's also evened out across all of the end users. Do you think it is possible for us to have that happen? Will basis do the heavy lifting from here on out?
It could go either way. I mean, the bottom line is we need to see the flat price happening. I think basis is the most likely candidate to do it because a lot of grain has changed hands and moved into the hands of the hedgers, at least in our area. So basis does more than a flat price move, so that's entirely possible. A lot of it also is inverse. I mean, we're looking at, assuming a normal crop out here, potential for just some huge inverses, and that means that nobody's going to want to carry one bushel over that they don't have to.
And your bids for the day?
We are at $7.39 on nearby corn and $14.47 on soybeans.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Peking Duck Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1778, Captain Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands. He named the islands after his sponsor, the 4th Earl of Sandwich. In 1799, Joseph Dixon was born, an American inventor and manufacturer. He produced the first pencil made in the U.S. When he died, the Joseph Dixon Crucible Company was the largest manufacturer of graphite products in the world. In 1813, Joseph Farwell Glidden was born. Glidden, an Illinois farmer, received a patent for the first commercial barbed wire on November 24, 1874. Glidden's barbed wire opened the plains to large-scale farming and closed the open range, bringing the era of the cowboy and the roundup to an end. With his partner, Isaac Elwood, Glidden formed the Barbed Fence Company of DeKalb, Illinois, and quickly became one of the wealthiest men in the nation. In 1818, George Palmer was born. Palmer of Huntley and Palmer Biscuit Manufacturers introduced the first biscuit tins. In 1943, pre-sliced bread was banned in the U.S. for the duration of World War II to conserve metal from spare parts that might be needed. And in 1990, the first McDonald's in Moscow opened. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, on the phone line to look at a very, very cold, I think, Jim, weather forecast for the coming week. And I was kind of hoping that maybe it didn't start until Monday, but on Saturday evening, while our temperatures aren't that low, our wind chills are really cold.
That's right. This is going to be a big change in the weather. We've got a large low-pressure system that's going to move through the Great Lakes region, and that's going to pull a lot of very cold air out of Canada and drop it right in our laps here in central Illinois. And so, yeah, even on Saturday, it's high of 48, but it's going to be very breezy with winds about 16 to 25 miles per hour and gusts even higher than that. And same story for Saturday night, but the temperatures are really going to start to drop through Saturday and Saturday night. And so by Sunday, you know, we're going to be looking at highs only in about 25 instead of the 48 on Saturday there. So it's going to be much colder, and it'll just kind of continue to get colder. Monday looks very cold, even colder yet, about 14 for a high and a 4 degrees for a low. So very cold all the way pretty much through Wednesday. Now, by about Thursday or so, the temperature should moderate a little bit. We'll be back up into the 30s and 40s. But it's going to be cold the next couple of days. And like you said, with lots of wind on top of that, it's not going to be very comfortable.
So tell me more about the system that pushes all this cold air in.
Yeah, the interesting part is that it's a very strong system that's passing through the Great Lakes region. And while it's going to give us much colder temperatures once that cold front pushes through, they really don't have any precipitation forecasted with it. So it's going to be cold and dry, so not much of any snow will come out of this. Maybe a few flurries or something. But it's just going to be lots of very cold, dry air moving into the region.
Is it unusual for these kind of temperature drops not to come at least along the front edge of it or leading edge of it with some kind of storm?
Yeah, that is a little unusual. You know, usually systems like this would bring a lot of snow into our area, but I think this one passed a little bit too far north. I think areas in the Great Lakes region are going to get some snow out of it, but for us here in central Illinois, all we get is the cold air. So,
Now, yesterday was the third Thursday of the month, and the National Weather Service released some updates. Did they give you any hope for more precipitation in our part of the world?
Well, you know, that's a good point. They did release their new ones on Thursday for the February forecast. They've got the northern two-thirds of Illinois and an increased chance of below normal temperatures. So looking at February being colder than what we've seen so far in December and January. Precipitation-wise, they have what I call the neutral forecast or equal chances, so there's really not much going on there. Same with the three-month forecast they've got for temperatures. They got equal chances. But for precipitation, we are at an increase of above normal precipitation. So that gives me a little bit of hope, especially that March-April time frame.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That's Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.